Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. John Reznikoff is on, founder of University Archives in Wilton, Connecticut. We're linked up on the radio station website. It's a fascinating website. All kinds of cool stuff he has, like Abe Lincoln's hair taken the night of his assassination.
Wow.
Jimi Hendrix, Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson. He has all this celebrity hair. Then he had Kurt Cobain's hair. Now, remind me how you got that again, John.
Well, that came from his girlfriend before Courtney, of course. And it came with a photo of the girlfriend actually clipping the lock. And it doesn't get that. It doesn't get any better than that as far as proving what you have. And there's a whole long affidavit that came with it. And we only sold 6 strands, by the way.
And how many did you have total?
Oh, there's hundreds. Hundreds.
Wow. Oh. How much did the hundreds cost you?
You know, it's a long time ago, but probably a lot less than I sold the 6 strands for.
Right, that's what I was saying.
Which $14,000 is what it went for.
For 6 strands.
Man, for hair. 6 strands.
Yes.
Damn.
Yep.
I'm in the wrong business. I cut some hair out there.
Yeah.
Just walk behind celebrities. Go, click. They call him the Clipper.
It's all about AJ.
Goddamn right.
Wow. Did you think it would go for that much? Did you have any idea?
No. I mean, I thought it maybe a couple $1,000s or, but, you know, he has such a following. Like, so hair is really a small part of what I do. And I had a Kurt Cobain signed album in the last auction that, believe it or not, and I would think this would go for more, that went for like, you know, $3,500 or something like
wow.
that.
Wow.
So it's interesting what people want.
It was a signed guitar or a guitar he used in signed?
No, it was a signed album.
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 Yeah. Album,
okay.
Right. Now, apparently, his hair is worth more.
The hair, that's it's such a personal
yeah.
thing. It's so
it
connected to
right.
him.
That's got to be part of it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I think the DNA is that really in the sequencing, and you could, you know, eventually we'll know from my collection what's, you know, what kind of troubles these people had. Was there any genetic flaws, things like that? I think there's a lot to be told in the genetic code that we don't have the technology now, but will in the future.
You can drug test the hair, too, and see if you're smoking a joint.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure the joint
comes out
is the last thing that'll show up.
Yeah, yeah,
that'll
that
be
one.
A whole list.
Right.
And you have other rock hair, right? Rolling Stones? What do you have from the Stones?
What I have is an album page that has all the Stones, including Mick Jones, who wasn't there long, as we know. And... it has a little bit of their hair scotch taped to the signed album page. Old style. Like if you had an autograph book when you were in high school, those little books and those pages
right.
they signed.
Yeah.
And they added a piece of their hair.
Wait, so you have Mick Jagger, Keith Richards.
Yep.
Bill Wyman.
Yep.
Charlie
Keith,
Watts.
Keith's you gotta watch though. Has a high toxicity rate.
How did you get those?
Yeah, Keith lives around here somewhere.
He
here. Let's see. It's,
we've heard right. Washington.
He's probably laughing right now.
I have it. It has, so Mick Jagger, Charlie Watts, Brian Jones. I said Mick Jones. and Keith Richards. So, and they're on 2 separate album pages, and the hair is just like indiscriminately taped. I don't know if they could ever get it off to those album pages.
Looking back, not a good idea.
How does this happen?
Yeah.
You know, somebody. So remember, your mom probably has a lock of your hair somewhere. So people collected hair of a baby, and they also, at the other end, you know, when somebody died, it was very much a Victorian tradition where you clipped a lock of their hair and you put it in a locket.
I have a lock of my dog's hair, like a German Shepherd that I had when I was a kid.
That's cute.
You had a German Shepherd? I love German Shepherds. I had a German Shepherd, too.
So
you just have head hair, right? Not like leg hair or anything like that?
I know we've asked you this before. You have no pubes.
No, I mean that like leg hair or something like that. Like some famous lady shaved her legs. You have her hair?
No. Okay. That was the first question Howard Stern asked when I was on his show.
He told us that, last time. Yeah.
I'm glad that you guys waited a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and we covered it twice now. So we just think that if we keep asking you, we're going to get a different answer.
I'm forgetful.
Okay, you broke me. I got Jimi Hendrix pubes.
I'm forgetful. I juggle bowling balls a lot.
All right. So did you tell us how much you paid for this Rolling Stone book of hair?
Very little.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of what I bought before it was in vogue.
Right.
And now there's a lot of people collecting this, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands.
I could see why you wouldn't want to tell us the price, because if you go to sell it, people are going to think, well, he only paid whatever.
I heard he said this. Yes.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
The value goes up.
Right. Yeah.
So. How it is.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's worth what it's worth. You know?
What do you think that's worth now?
Your guesstimate.
I mean, I would think if you have all those players that it has to be worth more than Cobain.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And hate to say this, sounds a little morbid, but you got to wait until they die, right?
Right. So what's the right time now to try to turn that around?
Yeah, you wait until one of them is no longer with us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jones is dead, and...
But no one cares about his hair, right?
No, not really, no.
Well, they're...
Not really.
There's less
not
of it
really.
Around than the other guys.
This is true.
Yeah.
But... No one's going to say, guess who I have.
Right.
Who?
Brian Jones.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you think that, you know, artifacts and letters of celebrities are worth more after they die. You think that. But it's not always the case. What happens is there's an amazing spike in the amount of material that comes out. And because people have been holding this, waiting for this person to die. And then it comes out all at once. And actually, the market can go down because there's a glut of material that comes out.
Interesting.
And then it will eventually rise.
Interesting. Let's talk about Paul Stanley's hair. How did you get that?
Well, there's some confusion there. So Paul Stanley, I don't have his hair. I have a signed guitar that he played on stage.
Oh.
Which is like his hair.
Which is pretty cool, too.
Yes.
Maybe I'll trade him for some hair. I don't know.
Right.
What do you think that's worth?
That's worth about $10,000.
Holy crap.
Ooh, people, I got my guitar over here.
Where do you, I don't even know what Paul Stanley just said, but where do you keep all this stuff? It must be in a safe somewhere.
Yeah, we have secured safes that have cameras and alarm systems and everything.
Yeah, it's a whole deal.
No, it's not like diamonds and gold where it's something that's easy for somebody to steal and fence. You know, these are all unique items and. So it's not that big of a security issue, but we're very, very careful.
Well, you keep it from fire, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you need is like anyone's near a match and look at the whole collection.
Goodbye.
Yeah. It just has a funny smell and there goes the money.
Yeah.
Yep. Something smells like burning hair. Right.
I saw you have two Beatles. Which two?
So I have, and there are interesting stories too. I have Paul McCartney, and it's front. There's a photo of the girl who won it in a contest from TV Guide from the 60s.
Wow.
So it's vintage hair.
TV Guide.
And the John Lennon was a German contest that somebody won, and it has all the provenance and all the history written in German. So I have those two. And
those are the two you want, Lennon and McCartney.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
Ringo,
Have you ever thought of taking a couple of strands from each and then selling them as a package?
Nice.
You know, I mean, it's interesting. People do that kind of thing. Like they'll sell Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio here together. And it's kind of interesting. Or to sell a president and a vice president together who were together at the same time. So people do that. I don't, you know, generally get that creative with it. I'm the only reason I'm selling any of it is just to support my habit so I could buy more.
Right.
So,
he's got a hair habit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. What do you think the McCartney hair would go for if you had to guess?
It's a big lock. I mean, I would think, you know, probably upwards of $30,000, $40,000, $50,000.
And that would be for the whole thing?
Thousands. thousands of, I think six strands would probably sell for $1,000, maybe 2,000.
Oh, more. I'd pay more.
All right.
Paul McCartney,
I'll sign you up.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah.
Right. Seriously. Talk to me in a moment.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. You just bought some air, Chaz.
I mean, it's Paul fucking McCartney. You ever, like, buy a hat hoping, like, there's hair in it?
What is the thought?
No, I mean, the closest that's ever happened is I bought a death mask of John Dillinger.
Oh, wow.
Wait, this happened twice. A death mask of John Dillinger, and in the actual mask, because it was first generation, were some of his mustache hairs. And it actually happened again. I bought a hairbrush that was Babe Ruth's, that had Babe Ruth's hair in it. So that has happened, yes.
What would Babe Ruth's hair go for?
A lot, because, you know, the sports area, they're crazy. Yeah. So
they're crazy.
They're nuts about that
the
stuff.
The guy that collects hair is like, they're crazy.
They're crazy. They're crazy.
It takes one to know one.
Yeah. Exactly right.
We got to go, but I want to have you back because there's a lot here to talk to you about. And I wanted to talk to you about, you had the Wicked Witch and the Good Witch from The Wizard of Oz. And
yes,
that'll be where we pick up next time we have you on. Thank you, John. Anthony Falcone is an international pizza consultant. He's a pizza czar.
Aha.
AJ.
Germans.
He has a book out. It has a lot of words in it. The title.
I hate when books have that.
People.
Just write pizza.
Just write pizza czar.
Pizza.
But there's always the title and then the explanation of what it is.
Yes.
So you know what you're buying.
Pizza, a guide to having pizza, good pizza by a person who has pizza.
Recipes and know-how from a world-traveling pizza chef.
That fits in one book.
You know what I like about Anthony is that he's been all around the world. He's had pizza everywhere. He's started and helped businesses and all this. But he was able to click off four or five places in Connecticut that he knew. He was like, oh.
So-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so.
Sephardi's,
yes.
Sally's,
right.
Pepe's, Roseland,
yeah.
Which is, that's good. When you mention Roseland and Derby, that's
right.
Good.
Yes.
You've listened to the whole album, not just the hits.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. You know the offcuts.
I try to do my homework, you know. It's important.
But have you actually had those pizzas?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Many times I've been to Frank Pepe's, Sally's. A couple times, I went to Roseland once, Zupardi once, and hopefully, you know, get up there as soon as I can again. It's always a fun trip.
I'm going to name a state, and you name a good pizza.
Okay.
Texas.
Okay, so in Austin, Texas, there's a place called Samataro. It's a new place. Really good guys running that place. I did a pop up there recently.
But they're from the Northeast.
One of the guys might be involved. I'm not too sure. Actually,
we got sound effects out of him.
Either he sat down wrong or something.
No, I mean,
what'd you sit on?
I don't think you have to be from the Northeast to make great pizza.
I know, but it helps.
Gives you street cred.
It does help.
Yes.
Because you've already got that palette of what great pizzas should be.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
I was in Dallas in 1995, and it was the only time I threw away a whole pizza.
Ooh.
Wow.
Domino's was the best pizza in the Dallas area.
That's bad.
In 1995.
That's bad.
Well, yeah.
It was cardboard with red water and grated cheese. It was gross.
It was called yuck.
Well,
they've come a long way, right?
You should have been eating tacos, I think. That's your move.
Queso.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
No.
Barbecue.
Texas barbecue.
That's the new
and you're right. Mexican food and barbecue there is the best in the world.
Either or. Yeah, don't even go with pizza.
There's a place called Bufalina there in Austin that's also very good. They do kind of a Neapolitan pizza. And I did a pop-up there, and we did a barbecue pizza where we took brisket and jalapenos, longhorn cheddar, and mozzarella, and barbecue sauce. And
come on.
Oh, my God. That sounds good.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, it does.
Sign me up.
You know, there's some things that's just, look, I love steak and barbecue, and I love pizza, but I don't want them together. It's like, I like beer, and I also like coffee, but I don't want them together.
Ooh. Have you tried it?
Coffee, beer would be awesome.
Oh, Phil is showing me a picture of it. It does look...
It has the right look.
Has so a good look.
They've at least got that down. This is the Bufalino place that he was just talking about.
Yeah,
Bufalino.
The crust looks a little too
thick.
Much.
Thick, right?
Too much, yeah.
A little puffy.
Well, you know, you need kind of some thickness because you got a lot of meat in that plate.
But it's not thick vertically. It's like thick horizontally.
As soon as she started talking, I knew she was going to hurt herself. I mean, as soon. It was word two. I'm like, there we go.
I saw smoke out of a right headphone.
It's too wide. The crust is too wide.
I left a pope in there or what?
Anthony Falcone is on. He's a pizza czar. Go ahead.
I think her opinion's valid.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate it.
He's also very polite.
What a nice person. Yeah. She's a nutbag. Right.
He's a guest. He knows how to get back on. Yeah.
He knows she's the guest booker.
Don't talk to her directly.
You know, I will say that I thought mashed potatoes had no place on a pizza until I had bars. Wow.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes. Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I worked on a place called Freehold, which has a great pizza. It's a thin crust pizza, and we do kind of an homage to the bar pizza, mashed potato pizza. So it's mashed potatoes and mozzarella, bacon, and then we finish it with an aged cheddar and scallions. It's very. I mean, it's delicious. It's a little naughty, but you know. I mean,
can you trace back the first person or place to try mashed potato on a pizza or that became successful or known for doing it? Was Bar one of them?
I don't know. You know, I mean, the first time I put mashed potatoes on a pizza was probably 13 years ago. And, you know, I mean, when you're in a pizzeria and you make the same thing over and over again, you kind of want to do something different, you know? And it's like, you know, sometimes you get a little, you get the munchies, you know.
I was going to say a college dorm room and someone was very high.
You get the munchies?
I know, dude, we're going to put some mashed potatoes on this pizza. It's going to be awesome.
AJ calls it high-dias.
High-dias, man. High-dias work.
You know what we called that pizza? The Spuds McKenzie.
Nice. And, see, right there it says stoner.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, those two things kind of go hand in hand, I think. There's some controversial pizza toppings in the book. You know, we dive right into that. There's a mashed potato pizza. I even have a pineapple pizza recipe.
No!
That's the one to
no!
me is...
Get out of here.
If you think that that's a good pizza, Anthony, I have to hang up on you now.
No, hold on. Let me state my case here, all right?
All right.
So, you know, historically speaking, a pineapple is a fruit from South America. Tomato is a fruit from South America, which was cultivated in Mexico. And so, you know, it really, neither one of them made it to Europe until the 15th century, didn't become widely eaten until the 18th century. And so I think the problem with pineapple is it's just poorly executed. If you take canned pineapple and you take it out of sweet, wet, out of a can, put it on a pizza, of course, it's not going to be good. But so with my pizza, we take the whole pineapple, we roast it till it's black on the outside, we carve that off. We take that roasted pineapple in from the inside. We make a puree and then pair it with like chili rubbed pork and jalapenos and onions and cilantro. It's kind of like tacos al pastor.
To disguise the pineapple, basically.
When you have to work that hard to erase the taste of the pineapple, right? It shouldn't be there.
You right. Burn it till it's black.
The proper way is you put the pineapple on a pizza and then put the pizza in the garbage.
Absolutely.
I always do it this way. If you put that next to a good pizza, a regular tomato pie
right.
from, you name your yeah. favorite place,
okay.
How's that pineapple pizza going to do? It's going to be like the salad pizza or the broccoli. It's good. It, you know, maybe someone will be polite and try one slice,
yeah, you see,
but it'll
bite
basically
taken.
Be their whole.
It's a coaster for your beer.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's important to build flavors, use, you know, kind of the culinary techniques of fat and salt and acid and heat, kind of bring those things together on a pizza, you know, texture and different flavors. And, you know, if you really put care and love into the pizza, you know, you can really, you know, do things that maybe are unexpected. Okay. That being said, I've never put chicken on a pizza.
I don't want any love.
Never?
No, this is good. All right, we're going to get into that list in a second. First, Mike in the car.
Morning, guys.
Hey, what do you got?
Hey, Willington Pizza, up on the way to Yukon on 44. They have done a potato pizza with bacon and cheddar, even a little sour cream, since the 80s. And it's tremendous. It's really good. I travel. We live in the Hartford area, so we travel up there all the time for it.
Since the 80s.
That sounds good.
They've been around a long time.
All right, so bar definitely not the first then.
Yeah.
No.
I to kind of trace those things back, you know. I mean, pizza, people weren't, you know, back then people didn't take pictures of everything that they ate. You know?
That's right.
There is that now.
Yeah. You know, although we could have, you know.
Yeah, there's no internet, like, kind of tracing every step of everything. So it's hard. It's really hard to kind of trick who was the first person to do this and that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, honey on a pizza became a really big thing, you know, in the early 2000s. And some people,
You say honey on a pizza?
I know. George in Glastonbury.
Hey, I was in Italy 3 years ago. My son got married in Cyprus. And after the wedding, my wife and I went to Italy and drove up and down Italy eating everywhere. And we went to Naples, and we went to the oldest pizzeria in the world. It's supposedly the first. It's called Brandi, B-R-A-N-N-D-I. And we had the tomato pie and the original margarita. And the crust is very puffy, and the center is wet. You can't pick it up. You have to eat it with a fork and knife. And that's the original pizza. That's how it was made.
Anthony, have you been there?
Yes. I don't know about Brandi specifically, but I've been to Naples. I've eaten the pizza there. And I was in Italy right before the lockdown. And I traveled around Sicily, went to the little village where my family comes from and spent some time in Rome. I ate some pizza.
That pizza that he was talking about, the wet in the center, you have to eat it with a fork and a knife. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's what they're going for in Naples. They say they have something that they call morbido, which means tender, and they want the crust to be soft and tender, and you definitely, it's a personal pizza. You eat the whole thing with a fork and a knife for yourself. And yeah, it's not meant to be picked up and eaten as a slice.
Is it good?
I think it's good. They have great ingredients. The mozzarella is fantastic. You know, it's made every morning, and like a little guy on a scooter comes in and drops it off. The tomatoes are incredible. They have great flour. You know, they have great produce. And, you know, I think the quality of ingredients is incredible. But technically what they're doing there as far as like what they're trying to achieve in the crust is, yes, they want it to be a more soft thing. But that's really specific to Naples. If you go to other parts of Italy, you know, Rome has its own thin crust, crispy style pizza, which probably would be more familiar to a New Haven pizza lover, I think.
George, did you like it?
I did like it. I mean, like he said, the ingredients were amazing. The San Marzano tomatoes, you can't get the real ones here in the United States.
Right.
And he's right. In Rome, they have long pizzas that they cut with scissors.
They use scissors everywhere.
Scissors to cut your pizza. Wow.
And they're square.
Hopefully not the same scissors they use to cut your hair.
Right. Or your pants.
Yeah,
or the red tape.
They have three main styles in Rome.
Thank you, George. Appreciate you. Phones are going nuts here. Let's grab Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey. So, Germany. I spent 4 months living in Germany at a company learning, so I'm going to try all the foods out there. You go out and get a pizza there. If you ask for a pepperoni pizza, you get hot peppers on it. There's a totally different name for pepperoni.
You got to watch that.
Yeah,
this is what's totally crazy. They'll have a pie called American pie, and a United States pie.
Yeah.
And it comes with hard-boiled eggs on it. I have no idea why.
No.
It's the closest thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
they hate us still.
They say bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Yes.
That's common in Italy, too. There's always an egg in the center when you order a full pie.
That's what you throw. Yeah. Yes.
Lasagnas have hard-boiled eggs in it. It's great. My mother-in-law makes it. She's from Rome. It's a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, no.
And then if you were talking about the honey, you got to go to Dominic and Vinny's, one in Southington and Waterbury. They have a hot lips pie. It's sopressata with honey drizzled on it. It's amazing.
See, the sopressata can see it, but not the honey.
Yeah, no, it works. I didn't think I'd like it, but it works. And then they have what I feel is a better garlic mash and bacon pie, then bar.
Wow.
Some strong words.
I didn't know that was possible.
That on my list.
Seriously.
All right, Rob. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in Italian, oni means like is a it goes at the end of a word to make it bigger, and pepper just means pepper. So pepperoni just means a big pepper. And so when you go to Italy, if you order pepperoni, that's what you get is the bell pepper.
Wait, so roni means bigger.
Oh.
Well, oni.
Oni.
Oni. I want to make sure I get that right.
Well, who thinks of putting honey on a pizza? It's disgusting.
Yeah, no. Well, come on. Let's not freak out. Honey's a natural product.
Yeah, but on a pizza, ick.
They drizzle honey on cheese for an appetizer.
That's bee poo on there. I don't want that on my pizza. Yick.
Yeah.
What? Bee poo?
Shut up. Yes. Exactly.
I love bee poo.
Yeah. You know what, Anthony? Me too. I love bee poo.
Well, in that case, enjoy all the bee poo. I don't want any on my pizza. Thank you.
I want oni bee poo.
Right.
Bee poo oni.
Yeah, and you know, in Naples, they have a pizza called Americane, and it's hot dogs and French fries on a pizza.
Gross.
It's actually one of the more popular pizzas.
That sounds
pizzas
delicious
there.
Now, yes.
Is there tomato sauce?
No, usually it's just mozzarella, hot dogs, and French fries.
That's gross.
That's interesting.
Have you ever been somewhere and you saw something and said, I'm going to have to just yell at this person?
I try not to yell at people too much in my old age now. You know, those are more, but
what's old? 40?
41, you know.
Oh, that's my heart bleeds. Nice. Well, I'm ARP now.
When you're in, it's a young man's game, this kitchen world, you know. You're on your feet 12 to 14 hours, 15 hours a day, you know. So I'm happy to be in my role as a teacher. I get the long hours in short doses, and you know, I'm going back on the road. I'm going to Colorado next week. I'm going to help open a project there in Breckenridge. I'm very excited about that. And then I'm going to Istanbul, Turkey after that to help open a place. And that's going to be very,
Turkish
very
pizza,
exciting.
A lot of people are using these you know, these gas ovens out for patio cooking for pizza.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's great. It's sparked like a revolution in home pizza making, because you can really achieve the same product from like these high temperature wood fired ovens or coal fired ovens in your backyard. And I address that in my cookbook and have some recipes that allow people to kind of, you know, make that more Neapolitan style pizza if they want to in these home ovens. I don't have a backyard, so I have one that is an electric one that it gets up to 850 degrees.
Wow.
In your house. It's called the Breville Pizzaiolo. It's a really great product. But yeah, Rockbox, Uni, all those guys, it's sparked a real revolution in home pizza making. And,
yeah, but how do you keep it round? Because the last time I made a pizza on the grill, look at the United States.
That's a big challenge, you know. That
let me guess, you made the pizza.
It was round for a moment, then went.
Yeah,
what the hell happened? I'm like, I just baked the United States.
Wait, so it was round?
It was round. It started round, and also went. It like morphed into like a map.
Okay, now let's hear the answer. What happened?
What'd you do?
So usually the problem is that the bottom is not floured enough, or if it is floured enough, you take too long in putting the toppings on. So if you really sit there and thinking about, ooh, what am I going
to do? I threw it on immediately, man. Once that sucker was round, I know I had little time to work.
Yeah, the grill's not hot enough to make a pizza, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got to really crank it
I hear grilled pizza is really good. I haven't really played around with it. I don't have a backyard here in Brooklyn, unfortunately. So I haven't played too much with grilled pizza, but, you know, I mean, I think the best thing is for people to just get started, start making pizza at home. You know, I, in my early days making pizza, have messed up a pizza every way you can imagine. I've dropped it into the fire on the ground, flipped it upside down. You can't be afraid to make mistakes and just keep moving forward.
Laura in Orange.
I grew up in Queens, and I've lived in Connecticut now for about 20 years, and I don't find any pizza here that compares to New York pizza. And our favorite is Umberto's in New Hyde Park.
That's a big place.
That's a good spot. That's a classic spot. They are claimed to have been the inventors of the grandma pizza, which is essentially like a Sicilian pizza, but it's thinner.
Yeah.
You know. I think that's a great spot. I do believe you've got some great pizza in New Haven. Does anyone do like a New York style in New Haven? Is that allowed?
Hold on, Bridgeport. Hold on. What place is that?
Oh
that
my God! It?
You said there's no good Sicilian.
Right. Bridgeport.
And they brought you no.
Phil, Mr. Memory over there.
Yeah. Captain Memory.
Captain Memory.
I mean, they brought it for you, AJ.
Yeah,
the
I know.
All you can do is remember their name.
Yeah, they made it in the morning and they brought it here for
you,
and
it
was
good.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this was really good Sicilian pizza.
Do you remember,
I
mean, Phil?
I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Memory, you crapped out on me.
You didn't even share it with me. I didn't even get a piece.
It was there
damn
for
it.
You to have.
No, I was there recently. And they came over and, you know, we chit-chatted. Damn right. It. I'm embarrassed. All right.
Same here.
Someone will tell us.
Yes.
But, Laura, they're I don't know where you're going if you can't have good pizza in Connecticut. Like you.
So you want more New York style.
Modern. We tried modern so far, I think, is the closest to what we like. That's the best one so far.
You want more,
Sally's,
yeah, more New York style.
I like modern better.
Right.
Okay, if you want Sicilian, what is it, Phil?
Vinny's Family Pizza.
That's
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Sicilian was amazing.
Okay. Try it.
Check
yeah.
that out.
And
Do it.
Report back. All right, Laura. Thank
Sounds
you.
Good.
You'll be
Thanks.
Impressed. Bye. Trust me on this.
Let's see. Is there any good pizza in Punta Cana?
Yeah, they say try another country.
Punta Cana? Where is that?
Dominican Republic.
Oh, you know what? I don't know, but I'm talking to some people about doing a project in Dominican Republic, so there's going to be good pizza soon.
There sure. you go.
Can you do it before January 2022?
Chop, chop.
I'll pressure.
I'll move that timeline up.
No pressure.
You're taking about 60 people over there, and we want good pizza, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's good pizza almost everywhere. If it just all it takes is one person who's dedicated to using good ingredients, taking the time to make it the right way. You know, I mean, I think there's, if it's on the beach, there's really something about pizza on a beach,
yeah.
which kind of elevates the pizza itself. It's just a better experience, I think. So, you know, I've had some incredible pizza in Mexico. You know, when obviously Panama, I have a friend there, Carlos, he has a place called Barrio Pizza. And
Do you mean Cannonball?
Great job there.
Cannonball.
That's an inside joke.
Cannonball too.
You have no idea.
And then I was flying to Panama, and everyone was singing that song to me, and I was like, "What? What?
See? I told you. I told you all."
They were singing Panama. Yes.
Gary emailed me a question. He said, "How long can you keep refrigerated leftover pizza?"
Oh.
You know what my move is for pizza? When I have a pizza, I like to eat the pizza, and whatever's left over, I leave it on the counter overnight.
Yes.
I don't know if that's
Do you really?
I do too. Yes, don't put it in the fridge. It dries it right out.
Yeah,
really?
It does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the cheese is going to make you sick.
No,
it's
no,
already cooked.
Nope.
It's already cooked.
It's going to uncook.
We did the same thing. Jennifer was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Trust me." And she said, "You're right."
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go to Italy, everything is out at room temperature. You know, it's sitting there. It's got olive oil on it. It's just everybody.
Yeah.
You good? Use good ingredients. You practice food.
It does not come back if you put it in the fridge.
Really?
Yep.
I'll try it next time.
Yeah.
I'll leave it in the counter.
No, you are right about that.
I'll let Marshall sit on it.
You know,
tastes like cat butt.
We got to roll, Anthony. We're going to have you back real soon. And congratulations on the book, Pizza Czar Recipes and Know-How from a World-Traveling Pizza Chef. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for the pizza capital of the world. Love you guys.
Where's this video from?
It was sent to me by Ashley.
Who's Ashley, the drunk girl?
Is Ashley the drunk girl or the grandmother?
Ashley's the drunk girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Check first.
So we get all the way through COVID. She can finally see her grandmother, and where is she? Hiding in the bathroom.
Right. Wasn't she going to see her grandmother when she slammed her finger in the car door, too?
Yeah, I didn't see her that day because I had to go to the hospital.
That day.
I'm seeing a pattern here. You don't want to see your grandma.
Yeah, I know.
Not
trying
true.
All you can to
your finger
her.
In a car door and even realize it.
The universe is trying to protect the grandmother.
Exactly
yeah.
Right. Grandma's, you know, getting on.
All right, here we go.
I'm hiding in the bathroom because I'm drunk. And my grandmother's here and I'm going to be a disappointment.
Whoa.
Was that out of your mouth?
Yes.
Just checking. You're in the bathroom, so you know legally you can do that noise. Did you lift your leg when you did that?
My mouth.
The shower curtain moved.
Her bangs did too.
Seriously, they did.
And those bangs don't move at all. They went upwards.
She's so drunk that she sent me the video, and I look at her face, and I didn't even recognize her.
Oh, really? Oh, she looked pie-eyed?
I look, I'm like, who is this?
I didn't get drunk Friday or Saturday or Sunday. I waited till the day right before we had to come back to get really obliterated.
Seems like very good planning.
That would be yesterday, yes. Right. Memorial Day, which you can't remember.
It's like the day we were supposed to come back. Oh, you mean yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday.
Oh, that's why you were hungover this morning. Oh, okay. Again, stop doing that. Light a match next time.
Can you start from the beginning, please?
I'm hiding in the bathroom because I'm drunk.
You didn't know Grandma was in the club?
I was hiding.
Also, if you are just realizing you're drunk and have to hide, everyone else has already figured it out.
Yeah, trust me. They were
everybody
saying,
knows.
Right. Saying she's gone right now. She's drunk somewhere.
Was there no idea that she was coming over? There was no...
I was the one that invited her. I called her.
So knowing Grandma was coming, you got hammered anyway?
Did she say, no, I'm not going to make it, but then she changed her mind?
How did you know that? Yes.
Because you got drunk, and now you're hiding from her.
Because now Grandma's there.
Well, I don't want to disappoint her. I'm hoping she never noticed.
Okay. Yeah, she won't notice that at all.
She's 98. I'm hoping she just doesn't notice.
Trust me, at 98, they notice big time. They're like, oh, you're very drunk.
Yeah, wait. This is the time in their lives where they're taking in all of the information.
That and that whole smell of alcohol. Yeah. They got to warn heaven later.
I started with a mixed drink that I made for myself that I never actually got to because I was just like, well, I'm going to do shots of Fireball instead.
Shots?
Yes.
With people?
In the middle
just,
of the day on a Monday.
Or just by yourself.
Who's over?
Yeah, who are you doing shots with?
All the family?
Yeah, the family. Yeah, family. The immediate family, yeah.
Okay.
My dad and my fiancé participated. I got my sister to do one. That's always a...
Participated?
Yeah.
I'm not still drunk, by the way.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Wow. So you invited Grandma. She said, no, I'm going to sit this one out, and then surprise.
She said, no, maybe I'll stay here, because breaking the routine is a big deal, right? So she said, all right, I'll come. She asked me who was going to be there, and then she changed her mind. She was going to come. I had my sister, Chelsea, and her husband, Andrew, pick her up on the way over.
So you did know she was coming, but you still got hammered.
She was sitting next to me when I did it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she...
Oh.
But then when I realized how drunk I was, I was like, I need to hide
okay,
right
I
now.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Actually, Grandma says, get the hell out of here.
That actually happened to me at the Cove Friday night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're all together.
Right.
There's a bar over here.
Yes, there was.
I'm done talking for the night.
Right. You're on your own time.
I walk over to the bar. I see some friends. They say, here. Have one of those.
I remember that. I saw you.
So I had a half a beer and a shot. And because I had like a celery stick all day, I'm like, oh. And I could hear myself talking.
Right.
I'm like, wow, this doesn't seem very good. Right. And then I see someone's face and I could tell they're having a hard time understanding what I'm saying.
They're doing the dog tilt like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm sorry about that.
And they also had that look like. Wow, he's like 3 a.m. hammered.
Wow.
I really wasn't 3 a.m. hammered.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. All right, so I can completely relate to this.
Right.
Well, maybe not that.
Were you lifting your leg in the bathroom like she was?
Yeah.
My mouth.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
So there's that. A bit.
What?
Ooh. Ooh.
Are you looking in the toilet?
Someone
forgot to flush in here.
So I looked at this in my head, I realized, as a bathroom confession, right? I went to go hide from my grandma, and I was confessing to the video what I was doing. Right. So I said, well, I confessed. There's that. And then I went to go, I dropped my phone almost. So I was like, ooh, ooh. That was that part.
That would be the best way for this video to end.
Right in the toilet.
Bloop.
We're in the middle of something right now.
Right. Investigating.
Ashley waited until yesterday to have lots of drinks.
Yes, I did.
Most folks do it early and then ride it out the rest of the weekend.
Right. I still won cornhole, though. Right. I'll let you all know.
What did you do to yourself?
Here's the thing with a drunk audio clip of her. You can't really tell.
No. It sounds the same.
Yeah, she sounds drunk when she's sober, yeah.
Here's the, this is her in her bathroom hiding from her grandmother.
I'm hiding in the bathroom because I'm drunk. And my grandmother's here and I'm going to be a disappointment.
Trust me.
So there's that.
Right. At least you're in the bathroom.
Ooh.
That bad, huh?
What time was this recorded? Can you check your phone?
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Oh, it wasn't that early.
Little eye-opener,
the
huh?
The sun is coming through the window.
Yeah.
It must have been like 2, 3 o'clock. Yeah, 2:30.
2:30.
Wow.
Well, what time did you start drinking?
2.
29.
Caught up real fast, huh?
Mama G is on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How's that headache, Ashley?
It's much better today. Thank you very much.
Supposed to yell that part. How's that doing?
Not so good last night. Not so good.
No, we went through drink the water, Tylenol. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Don't step on Ashley's hand. Yep. Look down when you walk in. She may be laying somewhere. I see feet behind the couch.
That's like you were there, AJ.
There she is.
I do have to give her credit, though. She at least was still sitting up at the dinner table, as opposed to her father, who was curled up in a fetal position somewhere that we didn't see for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, wow. You guys got blasted, huh?
That's true.
Damn.
It was my fault, because I was pouring shots, and I was like, here, Dad.
And Dad said, why, thank you, daughter.
Yeah.
At least he didn't climb any ladders this time.
I know.
Yeah, no arms broken this time.
He falls off those.
Yes.
Oh, this is great. Well, I know who I'd be hanging with at one of these events. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Papa G. Right.
You could be in a field position, too.
There was one point at which I did get a tad bit worried when Eric wouldn't sit next to her and sat across the table. And she quickly moved from being, you know, when you drink too much and then you start loving everybody.
Oh, no.
And yes. Well, she was sitting next to me and said, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I finally said to her, I love you too. Please eat something and stop up the alcohol. And it just got typical Italian crazy. And Eric from across the table said, wow, this is a real dysfunctional family.
He's the normal one that we brought in.
He said, let me see that ring for a second that I gave you.
He's an import.
Let me see that ring for a second. I think it could clean.
I think Ashley did ask if he would still marry her.
I did. So. I was like, you still love me, right?
And he said, let me get back to you.
Oh. You still want to marry me?
When you're sober, I'll get back to you.
Hey, I'm a good time.
Okay.
I feel a little extra Italian today.
If you have to tell people.
I heard there's a video or some audio.
It's an audio. I actually just put my phone on the table and pressed, record.
What the hell, Ma? What the hell?
I sent it to Phil, and she at one point said to me, What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you going to send this to Phil? Are you going to send this to Phil? What are you doing?
I remember that part.
Foreshadowing, yeah.
And I said, yes, absolutely. Now, the good thing is my mother is 98 years old, and she was at the end of the table. And
do you think she knew?
Of course she knew.
Ashley, unfortunately. Well, you know, it's hard to say. She is a little hard of hearing. And she is a little bit, you know, she is legally blind. So I'm hoping that saved her from witnessing you spitting food out of your mouth, at which point, do you remember I said, could you please stop talking with your mouth open? You're spitting food.
I did not do that.
It was seafood. Here, want to see some food?
No, I did not do that.
How's her nose? I bet she could smell the alcohol.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Honestly, I took that fireball handle off the table so many times. It went from the table to the counter. It came back. It just kept reappearing. And like it had wings, and it kept finding its way back onto the table.
Is there anything we should... Which part of the audio do you think is the best, beginning, middle, end?
So it's hard. It's hard to say. There are several different pieces. There's me yelling at her to eat something to stop up the alcohol.
Like
there's
that.
Her telling everybody she loves them, yelling at her at one point to keep her mouth shut when she's speaking with food in it because it's spraying all over the
table.
I don't think I did that.
It sounds like we have the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow.
I think so, yes. Right,
all
yeah.
planned out.
Eric, right.
Eric is talking about being a dysfunctional family, and I'm thinking, okay, this wedding's not happening.
Yes, it is.
Year.
He loves me.
Dad's getting his deposit back.
we could just play this instead of the vows, it sounds like.
Well, thank you for grabbing that.
Yes, you're always thinking about us.
You know, I did turn it off after 10 minutes because I figured I could just play it the rest of the day, and I didn't know how to send an audio that big. So, yeah, you got the highlights of the day.
Nice.
Yeah, we are going to get that from you somehow because
yes,
it won't transfer cleanly.
Great. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ma.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Thank you as well.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.